home of the stars through the airwaves and on the big screen. Live from Hollywood, it's Rated LGBT Radio with your hosts, Jared Miller and Rob Watson.
We are official in this Rated LGBT Radio. I'm Rob.
I'm Garrett.
And that was so cool to have official opening music. I was excited all week to hear that.
Week, folks. I went into the studio and we got our new intro, so I'm excited.
Well, me too. Very excited.
So, Rob,
and we have quite a lineup tonight. Oh my gosh.
Holy cow. We've got quite the show. We're going to be starting the show with a little news update by Rob. So we're going to be doing that first. We're going to give some shout outs. I can start the show up. We can just press the button and start the intro again. That'd be fun to do. But we're going to give some shout outs right now to some people who are listening. Of course, we've got Scott Fullerton with Left of Straight Radio. I want to have Rob talk about his time on the show earlier today on that. We've got Mr. Robert Hanlon. Thanks for being a new listener out of Canada. Robert, love having you on. And, of course, Ralph Mayer, who is one of the stars of Child of the 70s Season 4. He's got a brand new video out called Casting in L.A., Keeping Up with Ralph. If you have not joined his Facebook group called Keeping Up with Ralph, you must do so, and you'll be entertained on a regular basis with really funny short movies. He's got some great ones lined up, and it's going to be your viewing pleasure, I assure you, when you turn into Ralph Mayer's YouTube channel. You should do that and subscribe to his channel today. So those are some of the shout outs that we've got here. Rob, what's going on?
We've got a lot of comedian type people on the show tonight. So the Scott show that I was on today was with Scott and his co-host Kevin, and they have a show called Healing Stigma. And it really has a serious turn. I mean, it's Kevin's story alone. I mean, it was like, wow. Which he shared a little bit on the show today. And my part was talking about the stigma about being a gay dad and how people reacted to that and, you know, different things. But they're just great interviewers, and it really got to the heart of things. And they got me really fired up at one point. I was, you know, my soapbox appeared, and there I was. Reaching away.
And, of course, where do we find Scott's show? It's Left of Straight right here on Blog Talk Radio.
There you go.
Yeah, so you
wasn't ready for
that, folks. And so on tonight's show, we're going to be having two
today.
Go ahead, Rob. I'm sorry. I'm on this new here's the deal. I did this Direct Connect tonight because I make Rob do the Direct Connect, and we're having a devil of time hearing each other. Rob, I'm going to turn it over to you until you say you're done. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, so I'm brain dead. So that may be part of it, but I don't know. I'm done.
That's
hello.
Okay. I mean, there are worse things. And your microphone is cutting out, Rob.
Uh-oh. Are we having technical problems?
I don't know. I can hear you right now, but it sounds like you're on a cell phone in a bad cell spot area. And I know that's not the case.
That's not the case. I'm on my mic here. So,
yeah. Rob's going to fiddle with his microphone, euphemistically speaking, of course. Let me tell you a little bit about some of the guests we've got coming up here tonight. We've got Mr. Michael Vaccaro. He's the creator, writer, star, producer of a web series that's very popular. It's called Child of the 70s. You can watch it on YouTube. They have a new season 4 that debuts on Monday, and I cannot wait for you to see it. It's going to be on YouTube. The link for seasons 1 through 3 are on YouTube with a link on the show page today. All you have to do is click it and it will pop up. So you don't even have to go searching for it. And you can go watch seasons 1 through 3 of Child of the 70s. We'll have Michael on in just a couple of minutes. And then in our second half of the show, we have director and writer Craig Campobasso. He is going to be talking about his brand new film called Please Don't Eat the Pansies. And we're going to talk to him about what's involved in making an indie film in today's exciting market of Hollywood. Rob, how's that microphone going for you?
I don't think it's the mic. I think it's the internet connection because I'm having a little computer slowdown here. So we're going to have to bear with it.
You sound lovely now. So you were, as you were saying.
I was actually not talking about anything relevant at the time. So maybe that was, maybe it's the microphone is a critic stepping up.
Uh-oh.
But
I came with a
writing.
Critic-free microphone, so I think I've had to pay extra.
Yeah. Microphones should not criticize. They should not have a voice. I mean, we should be the voice. They should just accept it.
There you go.
There. So, yeah, on the Goodman Project, I wrote a piece about Donald Trump, and it was the title of it was to Trump supporters saying, I get why you are voting for Donald Trump, and here is what it is going to cost you. And it was a piece that was based actually on my run-in with a Donald Trump supporter. I was out with my sister and her husband, and we got a lecture from a nearby patron of where we were about why she was voting. So I wrote about it.
Awesome. And where do people find your article again?
That is Goodman Project.
And we're having technical difficulties again. Rob, I'm like, so let me do this. I'm going to play a song. It's one of my favorite songs right now. And at the conclusion of the song, we're going to bring on our first guest, Mr. Michael Vaccaro. Everybody stay tuned. Here's the song, the song du jour. That's the song of the day.
Tell me, what would you say if I flash a piece on your way? Tell me, how would you react if I wore bell-bottoms black?
Resetting his computer, and when he comes back, we'll bring him on. But right now, it's my pleasure to welcome back to Rated G Radio a superstar in my mind, in the minds of millions of people around the world. His name is Michael Vaccaro. He's the writer, creator, producer, star, and I'll ask him what other hats he wears, but A Child of the 70s. It's available right now on YouTube, seasons 1 through 3. There's a link on the show page. You can click to watch that right now. And season 4 premieres this Monday. Michael, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Hi, I'm great, Garrett. How are you?
I'm good, but I'm thrilled that you're here because you've got about 10 million things that are happening in your world right as we're getting ready to talk to you tonight. Where do we start with
Child of the
70s?
Super busy in my world, yes.
Yeah,
Child of the
70s.
Okay, let's start with Child of the 70s. It is pretty crazy, yeah, but very exciting. And I'm taking a lot of Xanax.
Good.
You know? Which is good, just taking it minute by minute. But yes, it's all very exciting. We have our season 4 premiere this coming Monday, February 29th, in West Hollywood at Pump. You've been to Pump, and if anybody listening has not been to Pump, they should come. They should probably join us next Monday because it's a free open event for everybody.
And it's going to be starting at 7 o'clock. And if people want to, here's the thing that I think scares people when they come to West Hollywood. They always go, parking is really horrible. But right down the street from Pump, there's a great parking garage.
Yes. Right. Yeah. It's at the West Hollywood Public Library. They have a big, gigantic parking garage, and it's super cheap to park there. And it's right down the street. Or since it's at a restaurant with a fantastic bar with delicious cocktails, maybe people should just Uber.
Uber's a great – well, if you're local, Ubering's great. I'm coming up from Huntington Beach, so I've got to park someplace.
Yeah, you got to park someplace. But, yeah, if you're local, take Uber or Lyft or one of those things and have a delicious cocktail. Because also I want to mention that I believe $3 from every cocktail sold that evening is being donated to a charity, which is called Friend Movement. I'm pretty sure you know all about Friend Movement. And if you don't, I will tell you all about it.
Please tell us about the Friend Movement.
Friend Movement is this grassroots organization that was started by a couple of friends of mine, Ronnie Kroll and Eddie Lobo, and it's basically an anti-bullying grassroots organization specifically designed for LGBT youth.
That is very cool.
So, yeah, and I'm thrilled that we are partnering with them for this event on Monday. So.
And Rob, welcome back to the show. I'm glad your connection is better now.
Technology. Ugh.
Technology.
Can't live with it. Can't live without it.
So,
hi,
Michael,
welcome.
So, going back to the event on Monday night, there's also a suggested, even though it is free to get in, they do have a suggested $5 donation at the door. You don't have to, but it'd be great if you gave $5 or more as you go in, and that will all go to the charity.
Yeah, it is a
well.
Suggested donation. It all goes to the Friend Movement. Right.
I love that.
So, yes, nobody has to do it, but if you can spare $5, it will help them tremendously.
See, you can say that. We can say, if you go, you have to put in $20. That's just the way it is.
Okay, everybody that's going, you have to put in $20. That's just the way it goes.
All right.
But now,
all right,
if they go,
that.
Though, on Monday night, what are some of the things that people can expect to see?
Well, we're gonna have all the stars of the show there. I'm very excited. Bruce Valanche is going to be there, hysterically funny comedian, Emmy Award winner, writer of the Oscars and the Emmys and the Tonys and all kinds of things. And if you don't know who Bruce Valanche is, look him up. He looks like a giant Muppet, and he's
hysterical.
Been around. He is hysterical. He's been around forever. He for years and years and years. He wrote material for Bette Midler and Billy Crystal and Whoopi Goldberg, and he has written material for me. And he's in the show. He plays Larry Lawrence, who the lascivious Larry Lawrence, who spends his he's a big Hollywood agent, and he spends all of his time trying to seduce young men, and he does that in season 4. So he'll be there. Ted Lange is going to be there. Ted Lange, we all remember as Isaac from The Love Boat. He was in our show last season, and he is coming back again in season 4. He plays Dr. Dubois, and something very mysterious happens to him in season 4. We also have Susan Olsen, who played Cindy Brady on The Brady Bunch. This is her third season with us, and she is absolutely hysterical. And you all know Sheena Metal, of course.
We love Sheena.
Love Sheena.
Sheena
actually,
is
love them
fantastic.
All. They're, you know, Bruce is like the godfather of LGBT comedy. I mean, it's like.
Yeah, not only that, but again, you know, going back to like charities and stuff like that, I don't know anybody who has given more money to charities or has done more more things for different LGBT charities. He is at every benefit. He is at like on every panel, on every board. I honestly don't know more anybody who has given more to this community. So we should be very proud of him.
Yeah.
We have this season. We have Gina Hecht. Gina Hecht. You may not know her name, but you all know her if you grew up in the 70s and you watched Mork and Mindy. She was on Mork and Mindy. She was also on Seinfeld. I believe she's on the TV show The Middle right now. She is an amazing actress. We have just tons and tons and tons of great cast members this season, and they're all going to be at the premiere. So we're going to do a little red carpet. You can come take your picture from 7 p.m. until 8 p.m. And then at 8 p.m., we're going to do a little preview screening. We're not going to show the whole thing. We're just going to do get a little taste of season 4. And then we're going to spend the rest of the night drinking.
That'll be fun. I'm sad we're not going to get to see the whole thing.
Well, you have to go online to see the whole thing.
Well, yeah, I'll have to go home to it. So are we going to have any visitors from Texas joining us?
Yeah, we have a couple of we're allowing straight people to come to this event.
Wow.
And, we have,
wow.
Yeah, I know.
You are liberal.
I know. We've opened it up. We're having a couple of straight guys join us from Texas, Doug Jacobson and Burt Gallagher Jr. Now, these guys, obviously you know about them. They own a company called Equality Vodka. They make a beautiful brand of vodka there out of Dallas, Texas. And here's their great story in a nutshell. And have you ever had them on the show?
They were on last year because of you, Michael.
Oh, that's good. Good, good. I'm glad to hear that. They were sort of appalled at what was happening in Texas to the LGBT community. And so they decided to start a company, and they called it Equality Vodka. And a gigantic portion of their proceeds go to LGBT issues. And these are two straight allies, and they're both fantastic men.
Very, very cool. We love Equality Vodka. I don't drink, but if I did, I'd be drinking Equality Vodka. So there you go.
I drink it all the time.
There you go.
And so they are flying in, and they will be joining us there.
Okay, well, I'm going to bring the big boy camera and take some pictures.
Are you already thinking about season 5, or are you just living in the moment?
I wish I could live in the moment. I would like that. I'm going to try to meditate so I can live in the moment. But of course, I'm thinking about season 5. In my head, it's already written. In fact, when I started this show 4 years ago, I had a 5-season story arc in my head. And so next season, season 5, will in fact be our final season. I know what's going to happen to all the characters. I haven't put it on a piece of paper yet, but it's all in my head. But yes, I'm already thinking about how we're going to shoot it and where we're going to shoot it and when we're going to shoot it and how I'm going to afford to shoot it, all that fun stuff.
Now, are you thinking of taking this to another level once you complete the web series, like to, you know, Child of the 70s, the movie, or, you know, something up a notch?
I don't know if I want to do a film necessarily. I think I think having done what I've done, I think I'm happy with that. However, the next step for me is to get into a network, and I don't know if you know this, but we have sold the show to a fantastic network called Out TV. And right now, as of I believe this month, Out TV is sort of like Logo, and they are all over Europe. So as of right now, you can watch Child of the 70s on television on Out TV, I think in Poland and Sweden and the Netherlands and the Baltic States and also in Canada, and I'm sure I'm forgetting a bunch of other countries.
We become like a third world nation then for distributed LGBT comedy.
Yes, that's exactly right. hopefully the next step for me is to get it on a network here in the United States. That is certainly the goal.
Michael, can you do us a favor? If we have new ears, which is hard to believe, but if there are people who don't know like the premise of Child of the 70s, mm-hmm. can you wet our whistle just a little bit about what's happened in seasons 1 through 3? And then what we can expect in season four?
Yes, I certainly can. It's the story of, first of all, I grew up in the Bronx, New York. And when I was growing up in the 70s, my favorite show was Rhoda. And I think what I loved most about that show, if you remember, Rhoda started on the Mary Tyler Moore Show, and she has this really beautiful story arc where she's, you know, she's sort of the classic ugly duckling who is really, truly beautiful, and but she doesn't know it. And she has to sort of go, you know, go through all this stuff in order to figure that out, which she does in her own series. She moves to New York, and she gets a beautiful husband, but they end up getting divorced, and she ends her journey as a beautiful, strong, independent woman. So, and I love that story. And it's I'm not a Jewish woman. However, her story is universal, and I completely related to that. And so I wanted to do a story similar to that with a gay character. I wanted to do a show where there was a gay character who was not a meth addict or any kind of drug addict. I wanted to play a gay character who was not the butt of all the jokes, who was a real complicated human being. And that was sort of my goal in writing this when I first started. So we follow the story of Carlo. His name is Carlo Perdente. And the joke there is that he's an Italian from the Bronx, and the word Perdente in Italian means loser. He's a real loser at life. In the first season, he loses everything. He loses his rent-controlled New York City apartment. He loses his beautiful boyfriend. He gets fired from his job. He has an incredibly overbearing Italian mother, who are constantly harassing him, and he gets this amazing opportunity when he meets his childhood television idol, who is a TV actress named Kiki Lawrence, who is played by, as you know, Ann Walker. Ann Walker, of course, was she's from Sordid Lives. And so his whole life changes when he meets this woman who gives him this amazing job opportunity to be her personal assistant. So then the rest of the series follows him in Los Angeles when he follows Kiki and becomes her personal assistant. And he meets the man of his dreams, whose name is Joe, and they get married. And now we're in season four, where I don't know how much I can give away.
Too much, because we want to make sure everybody watches. But
Yeah. There's lots of intrigue. There's lots of mystery this season. This season is a little bit like a season of Dynasty, I will tell you.
Oh.
Surprise people come back from the dead, and there are kidnappings and there are explosions. We got very ambitious this season. We have a cast of like 40 people. I mean, it's turned into this huge, gigantic thing.
It sounds like you deviated a little bit from the Rhoda storyline there.
We're at the core. Yes, explosions. There were no explosions in Rhoda. You're probably right about that. That's just because it's my show and I'm weird. But the core of the story is still the same. The core of the story is still Carlo trying to find out who he is and trying to become a successful, healthy human being in a world that's where he's constantly sort of surrounded by craziness.
Okay. Now I have to ask a real Rhoda question. Do you have a scene where you're running through the subways in a wedding dress?
You haven't watched my show.
I didn't watch that episode, obviously.
In season two, Carlo gets married. Carlo and Joe gets married. In Rhoda, Rhoda and Joe got married. And Phyllis forgot to pick her up. And so she has to get on the subway in her wedding dress up to the Bronx. So in our version of that, because, of course, I stole it, Carlo is marrying Joe. But one of our characters, who's played by Terry Ray. Do you know Terry Ray?
Terry Ray has rocks the world.
Yeah, Terry Ray has a couple of series of his own. He's got My Sister Is So Gay, and he has a show called From Here On Out, which is on Here TV. He plays sort of our Phyllis character, whose name is James Hunter, and he volunteers to drive Carlo to his wedding, but then completely forgets. So Carlo, who doesn't have any money on him, and his cell phone dies, and all this stuff happens, and he cannot get to his own wedding. So he's literally running through Los Angeles and trying to get on a bus to get to his wedding. So yes, I did steal that.
There you go.
So Michael, can you do us a favor here? Because everybody thinks that, you know, in Hollywood, everybody's got gajillions of dollars to, you know, spend on production and cast and food and sets and locations and things like that. How is your job of putting the show together changed from season one to season four from a, you know, planning standpoint with the resources that you had then to what you're doing now?
That's a great question because, yeah, I wish I had tons of money. I wish it was glamorous. But my first season started out, as we all do now these days, with a Kickstarter and an Indiegogo campaign, crowdfunding, where, you know, you beg all of your friends, you know, for $10, and you beg your family members. And I begged my mother to put money into my show. And the first season, we were very lucky, and we made our goal. We reached our goal. And so I had a budget to shoot with a very small cast and a very small crew. And we created something, we produced something that I felt really proud of, that was really good, and people seemed interested in it. And as more and more people saw it online and became interested in it, people then started coming to me. How can I be a part of this? How can I help? And so season two, we brought in more actors, and we found some producers, investors who were interested in investing. And then, of course, season three happened when we actually got sponsors. I created a corporate sponsorship package, and I went to all these different companies, you know, looking for sponsors. And that's how we found Equality Vodka. And then that has gotten bigger. And season four, we've gotten more. And season five, I can't talk about it yet, but I think I have a really big sponsor who's coming on. But the point of all this is that there definitely were times where I thought, there's no way. There's no way I'm going to be able to do this. I can't. I cannot get another dime out of people. But you just have to sort of keep moving forward and keep believing in yourself. And I knew that I had a good product, and I knew that I had something that people liked. And so I sit at my desk and I just keep figuring out, okay, what's next? What do I have to do? What's next? It's always a struggle, or at least it has been for me, but it's totally worth it when you end up with a product that you're really in love with and that people like. It's definitely worth it. There's no question about it.
So what do you do on your downtime?
I haven't had downtime since 1986. I don't have downtime. I'm in Please Don't Eat the Daisies.
Pansies.
Please don't eat the pansies.
I did that last night.
Don't say that to our guests.
I did it last night, and Carrie Sittinger corrected me, and I'm reading it off.
That's funny. I'm sorry. Sorry, Craig, if you're listening.
Craig's on next.
But
so
yes,
yeah,
I know.
He probably
I know,
is.
Which is very exciting. Yeah, he probably is. I hope I don't lose my job now.
That's all right. He'll talk about the Child of the 90s show.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yes, Craig, please do that. So yeah, I know I don't have much downtime. I work as an actor. I actually start shooting a feature film tomorrow. And,
congratulations.
I'll be shooting and editing at the same time, and hopefully everything will be finished by next Monday. And soon we start shooting Please Don't Eat the Pansies, which I'm very excited about. I'm constantly working and constantly getting jobs, which is good. I'm very thankful. But yeah, no downtime.
Well, now, Michael, one of these days I hope you'll
take
it.
Please Don't Eat the Pansies, are you going to be just acting, or are you going to be doing more multi-role?
No. I'm just acting. I'm just acting with an amazing group of people, including Terry Ray, who I just mentioned. He's also in that film. And there's a fantastic actor named Chuck Sekula, who is also in Child of the 70s.
We love
Chuck. And Please Don't Eat the Pansies as well. Yeah. So I'm thrilled about being able to act in that film. And believe me, after you've produced and written and done all of that stuff, I'm more than happy to just be in somebody's project and act.
Yeah, actually, that's what I was thinking. That was probably like your version of a vacation, is just having to do one job.
There's no question. Just having to show up and say lines that somebody else wrote. Perfect.
There we go.
And then go home.
Michael, real quick, we're out of time. So one last big plug for the Monday night premiere.
Okay, so it's at Pump Restaurant. So if anybody wants more information about it, the tickets are free, but we are asking people to get tickets. You can find us on facebook.com/childoftheseventies, and that's 70S. So you can just go there, and you can find the link there where you can get tickets or get your names on the list. You can also go to my Facebook page. It's just under Michael Vaccaro, V-A-C-C-A-R-O. Again, red carpet and photographers and all that fun stuff from 7 to 8. From 8 to approximately 8:30, we're going to have a little screening, and then we'll be there from 8:30 to 10, just having a big party. Everybody's invited. And you can also go online and find the show on YouTube. You can just Google Child of the 70s on YouTube, and also you can go to our website, which is www.theofficialchildoftheseventies.com.
Very good. I'm going to Google the Rhoda running through the subway episode of, because I saw several of the episodes. I didn't see that one.
So. Rhoda,
it's really
Rhoda,
good.
The Carlo getting on a bus in Los Angeles to try to get to his wedding is in season two. It's the season two finale.
We need somebody to do a mashup of the two. Rhoda's and
you. Please, please. Anybody out there who wants to put me in a video together with Valerie Harper, I encourage that.
There we go. Michael, I will see you Monday. Thank you very much for being here. And Rob, we're going to take a real quick commercial break, and we'll come back in just a moment with Mr. Craig Campobasso.
When it comes to coffee, freshness is queen. That's why Rainbow Brew believes you should have the freshest coffee, roasted to order in small batches and delivered to your door within a couple days. Whether you're purchasing for a coffee shop, restaurant, or home, Rainbow Brew is your one-stop shop for fair trade and organic coffee. Offering many unique blends, including AM 950's own Blue State blend. That's Rainbow Brew, the Queen Bean, a proud sponsor of the Morning Grind. Online at rainbowbrew.com. Brew something good today.
Hey everybody, it's Garrett Miller. Check out my brand new album, Blonde Jesus, voted number one rock electronica, and the hit single, Gay Wedding.
It's a nice day for a gay wedding.
Buy your copy today at GarrettMiller.com.
There we go. So that's the shameless plug of the day, Rob. What do you think about that?
I thought it was great. I love, especially with the Blonde Jesus, because I'm sitting here thinking, where's my plug? I want the follically challenged Jesus.
That could be your, we're doing a video
no,
for
no.
that.
No, no, no. Do not go there. I was kidding.
Okay.
I have without further ado,
and Rob,
if anybody
we are
lie, they're lying.
Rob, we are blessed, excited, thrilled to have Mr. Craig Campobasso on the line. He is the co-writer and director of this brand new movie that's in pre-production now called Please Don't Eat the Pansies. And we're going to talk to Craig about the exciting things that happen in putting a movie like this together. Craig, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Well, who knew that there were, so little degrees of separation from Kevin Bacon? We have Michael, who's going to be working with you, and we've had Terry Bray,
right,
who's been on the show, who's working with you, and all these great folks. So that's very exciting. What a great lineup you've got set to star in the movie. Tell us about the movie, Craig.
Well, it's it's about four different gay couples. It's a romantic comedy, and one is sort of like forbidden love. One is about a married couple and what they go through. Another is they hate each other. They're divorced. The other couple is engaged, so we'll see if they'll make it to the altar by the end of the film. But then we have it sprinkled with so many great characters and fun things, along the way. So As Michael was just saying, he's in it, and Terry Ray and Chuck Sekula. I've known Terry Ray for years. I've hired him in a couple of movies over the years. Because my longtime career is as a casting director. So now I've been moving into directing and writing and producing over the last couple of years. So
how's that treating you?
What's that?
How's that treating you?
It's great. I've always wanted to direct, and I love writing as well. And, the producing part is the part that's the headache, and I'm sure every producer will tell you that. So just trying to get everything together because it's, Ronnie Kerr and I went in and did all the rewrites and everything, we just made it a bigger film and decided it was time for a gay romantic comedy that we really wanted to try and get out more in the mainstream of things. And, so I've been alluring a bunch of, really nice actors to the table as well. So we've got Eric Lutz and Andy Lauer, who both starred together on Caroline in the City. They're playing the married couple. And then we've got a wonderful actor, Vince Pavia, and Drew Gallagher are playing the sort of forbidden couple. And we've got Chip Coffey, the famous psychic medium, who's a wonderful stage actor. He's done lots of musicals and all kinds of things. He's playing one part of the couple that hates each other. We just haven't cast his counterpart yet. And then we've got Chuck Sekula and Tom Goss are the engaged couple.
I can't wait to see these personalities on the screen. This is going to be great.
It's going to be so fun.
Great. How do you think the current trajectory of acceptance of LGBT relationships and everything, how do you think that has changed the market for a film like what you're about to make?
Well, I've seen over the years, I've been casting for a very long time, and I've seen over the years where everything was predominantly white-based, in a lot of the what the producers wanted and the studios wanted and that kind of thing. And then we were lucky enough to get the Cosby Show, and that changed that dynamic. And then we started getting Latin shows, and now Bollywood has really come in strong. And now what's so fantastic is, Cal Penn broke the great mold when he did Van Wilder. That scene he did with Ryan Reynolds was the funniest scene I think I've ever seen in a movie. I don't think I laughed so loud. And that helped break the mold again. I myself have always cast colorblind. If you're really good for the part, you get the part. But anyway, it's and now the thing is there's not many other places to go. The stories are just getting retold over and over and over again. And way back in the day, where there was what was the movie with Harry Hamlin and Michael Ancine and Kate Jackson?
Making Love.
Yeah, Making Love.
Making Love, right.
Yeah.
So there was that movie way back, and now there's I think there's much more of an acceptance, but there's also people want to see different things, because when you don't know what those lifestyles are, a great way to put it out there into the world is through comedy. And so people, just get a whole new take on things that they normally wouldn't have known about. Because if you're not gay, you wouldn't know what a gay relationship is. Right? So that's our goal. Just put it out there. You know, I always say if Judd Apatow were gay, this would be the film he'd make.
There you go. So what would be what would be surprising to somebody who is sitting out in middle America today about putting together a movie like this?
Well, there's really nothing surprising about it. It's just going to be a whole lot of fun. I personally love working on comedies, and I just think, oh, by the way, I forgot the other couple, which is, of course, Ronnie Kerr and Ian Roberts, who starred together in Saltwater. And,
there you go.
Ian was in Superman. You know, he's like 6'5". He's gigantic. Yeah, exactly. So anyway, there's his budding romance. So we'll see what happens to them by the end of the film. Well, I know what happens to them by the end of the film.
So have you filmed any of it at all yet, or it's all on paper at this point?
No, we don't start shooting until April. So we start, I think, mid-April. There's still lots of pre-production, lots of planning and things. We have like three gigantic scenes. We have Pandora Box's Pansy Party, which is going to take 2 days to film. We have a gigantic pool party, which is going to take 1 day to film. And then we have a big gay wedding, and that's going to take 2 days to film. But what we don't know, well, what you guys don't know is who's going to make it to the altar there. So,
you got to tune in. There's
I'd be a surprise. Yeah, so it's exciting, and then rounding out the cast with Mary Wilson from The Supremes, and there's a few other names that I just can't release yet, but as we get closer, I'll start releasing them. Who are if they're available and can jump in, they're going to jump in. So
you've been doing a great little slow drip over the last few weeks about the people who are in the production. I'll wake up on the Facebook feed and I'll see, Tom Goss is going to be in Please Don't Eat the Pansies. I'm like, holy cow, Tom Goss, you got to be kidding.
I know. Isn't he great? Yeah, he's terrific. I mean, all of them are terrific. They're all really, really good, fine actors. And they're all, they all just want to come and, have a good time and do something that's different and unique, because I don't really think that I've seen, a gay comedy of this sort of stature. We had In and Out with Kevin Kline and Tom Selleck a while ago. What was that, in the 90s, I believe?
Early, yeah.
Yeah, it was early. That was early. So this is a little bit different. It's sort of, bringing in a bunch of the different things. And I know Pandora Box is going to bring some of the drag queens for the stuff from RuPaul's Drag Race to be in the Pansy Party as well. So
that'll be awesome. Yeah. For an indie film like this, Craig, is this something that, financing is already set for, or are you doing any type of crowdsourcing for this?
Well, we've got partial financing, and then when we extended the script and, have these gigantic scenes and everything, we needed to raise an additional $35,000. And so we're doing a Indiegogo campaign, which is under Please Don't Eat the Pansies. And there's all kinds of great things on there. People can become a producer, associate producer or executive producer. They can get, get a line in the film. Chip Coffee has donated a second reading. This one, he's donated on Skype, and he doesn't do readings in person or on Skype anymore. He only does them on the phone. So this is like a rare opportunity. So he's donated that. Eric Lutz is an incredible artist. He donated two beautiful abalone prints. Those are already gone. Those went like lickety-split. And then there's an original painting we have up that he did. That's a beautiful, just a green eye. So there's all kinds of things, in the perk section there that people will like, getting autographs of the script and all different kinds of things. So they can just go to Please Donate the Pansies on Indiegogo. They can make sure they like our Please Donate the Pansies page on Facebook, too.
We've got a link up on the show page tonight, so if you're reading the show or listening to the show, all you have to do is click that, and it'll take you right to the Please Donate the Pansies Facebook page. Like it so you can get all the updates. That's really cool.
Yes, yes. And then, of course, we have some wonderful actresses in the film. Berna Roberts is playing one of the leads. Rosalind Kind is going to play the minister who's going to marry the couple at the end of the movie. Isn't that exciting?
That's very, very exciting. She's great.
Yeah, yeah. And so anyway, we've got that. And we will have a few songs also that Debbie Gibson has given me to put in the film as well. Some of her.
We love Debbie Gibson.
We love Debbie Gibson. So some of that will be in there. Going through some of the party scenes. She's got a great sort of disco tune that we may pop in somewhere. So could be at the pool party or something like that. So
awesome.
So what are your distribution plans once the film is made? It sounds like you've got pretty aggressive ones. Are you going to do the film circuit, the film festival circuit, or what's your plan?
Yeah, we're going to do the film festival circuit, and then we'll shop the film. Well, it's always best when you have an end product when you go shopping for distribution, because you can get a better distribution deal. And hopefully we can get something where it can get sourced out into a lot more avenues than a normal, really, really ultra-low-budget LGBT films. So I think it'll be really nice to just see if we can, push it through the festivals. And they're already approaching us as well. So I think it's going to be really, really fun. And and even Debbie Gibson said she would come with us to the festivals.
Oh, fun!
So, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I follow her on Twitter all the time, and she's pretty witty on Twitter. So
she's so much fun.
Legacy. Yeah. So
yeah, she is so much fun. So
we just had Michael Vaccaro on, and he was telling us about how the show Rhoda was kind of this background inspiration for his show Child of the 70s. Does Please Don't Eat the Daisies? Is there some symbolism in Please Don't Eat the Pansies that you leverage, or is it just
no, it's just that Please Don't Eat the Daisies was such a great title to a film. And it sort of reminds us back then. And if you go back and watch it, there's a lot of gay overtones in that movie. David Niven's best friend was a Broadway producer who was gay without saying he was gay, because they never showed him with a date. And they got somebody who, you knew that he was gay. When they move out to the country, there's a pastor, a theater person, and a veterinarian who's a woman, and she's got very short hair, and she's sort of dressed in a brown suit. And one of Doris Day's boys runs up to her and says, are you a man or a woman? And she says, well, I'm a veterinarian, so I'm a little of both.
Oh, my gosh. That's a great line.
It's a great line. So I know from working in films all my life is that when you have a great title, It's what's catchy and it's what people remember. So when Ronnie and I went in to, overhaul the script, I said to him, I said, we're going to just change this to Please Don't Eat the Pansies and create a whole pansy party. And at that point, Pandora Box wasn't involved. But the minute she came on board, I went, oh, that's perfect. Pandora's Pansy Party. So it all just worked out, and it's great. So we've got some great, pansy themes going on throughout there.
Well, Craig, I can't wait to get you back on after the film's wrapped and you get
ready
to premiere it, and we can talk to you and all the stars and have them come on, and we'll do like a cavalcade of Please Don't Eat the Pansies. That'll be awesome.
That would be great. We'll get all the actors to come on the show and the whole thing. Yeah, they would love that.
Rob,
absolutely.
Any last questions before we let Craig go? Because I know there's a couple of things you wanted to talk about.
What is the secret to great comedy? Just, leave us with that nugget. What is the secret to great comedy?
Well, it's the ability to set up the joke and do the punchline and get the laugh. And it's all in the way that you deliver the line. So if you go back to the best sitcom that began was I Love Lucy. And Rich really was later in years Will and Grace retooled from that because it was about four people, right? So and that format really, really works. So in feature films, it's a lot of it's about shock value. Like, oh my God, I can't believe somebody just did that, right? And but everybody identifies with it. So that's why dating movies and relationship movies such as this, everybody gets the joke because it's all happened to them.
Great.
Yeah. There we go. It's been Craig Campobasso. Please Don't Eat the Pansies. You can like their Facebook page right on the link on the show page. Go support them on Indiegogo. Give $100,000 tonight. That would be really nice. Do that.
That'd be great.
And then, Craig, are we going to see you on Monday night?
Yes, I'm definitely going to be there. I'll be there. Ronnie will be there. And Berna will be there as well.
Perfect. So we'll see you Monday at Pump to celebrate season 4 of Child of the 70s. And, Craig, thanks for being on the show. I can't wait to see you.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Craig. Thank you.
All
bye-bye.
Right. Bye.
So, Rob, I'm going to have you do me a big favor here. I didn't really hear anything you said about that amazing article that you wrote at the beginning of the show because we had microphone problems for you. So can you do the listeners a favor and just kind of redo that whole thing?
Absolutely. So on this week on the Goodman Project, I have an article that is addressing Trump fans or we talk to movie people. So I'm talking about fans, Trump opponents. And I wrote an article called Yes, I Understand Why You're Voting for Trump. And this is what it's going to cost you. And it really goes into more of the psychology of Donald Trump being a CEO and his demeanor and, it is very corporate world, in a world where people are no longer respected, they're layoffs, you're kind of a bottom line person. And, I kind of go into that aspect of it, which ironic. I think they're debating tonight. It seems like
they
every
are.
Time we have a show, some politician group wants to debate. Well, they don't get the memo. Don't do it on our night. But I think they're out there doing it tonight.
I don't know. Rob, I'll tell you, we've talked politics before, and I shake my head. It's, it will be very interesting to see what happens in November.
I think we've got a long road for November. It's going to be, I think the next few weeks is going to be very interesting when, Super Tuesday is coming up. That's going to be a big showdown. And, we'll see if Bernie stays on, if he survives that period going up against Hillary or whether she just, kind of wipes him out. And we'll find out if Trump wipes out the other guys, which, I hate to say it, on the Republican side, I mean, I make no bones about not being for Trump in this article, but I look at who's coming up behind him and it's like, I don't want them either. It's
right.
So it is a little scary. And then on the other side, we've got the Oscars coming up this weekend.
We do.
That's you know, the boys in this house, you know, they rule the television set. They have pretty much owned them from birth, you know, and I don't have any problem, you know, acquiescing to them, except they know on Academy Awards weekend, it's daddy's. It is daddy's.
Nice.
Like, back off. 4 o'clock, red carpet, I'm in front of the TV set, and there's nothing we're going to do about it. So, you know,
well, I think it'll be fun. I get to shoot an Oscar gifting suite on Saturday, so I'm going to be spending all day up in Hollywood visiting with stars and taking pictures and things like that. Depending upon what I'm allowed to post, I'll be making some posts on Saturday night, so I'll be sharing that with everybody. So that'll be cool. Hey, Rob, do you know what tomorrow is?
Friday?
It's the Friday Night Dance Party on Rated G Radio.
Ooh, I should have known that.
Do you know who's on?
You.
Well, okay. So tomorrow night, besides me, we've got rock and roll, hard rock, metal, hard rock guy, Frank Yeno with Black Valentine. And all week he's been saying, what kind of song should I send to you, Garrett? And I'm like, it's going to be your segment. You know, it's whatever you want. He goes, you know, I have a lot of songs that are explicit. Is it okay if I send those? I'm like, Frank, it's your show. We'll play whatever you send. I promise it'll be great. So just send whatever you want. So he's up in the air on the 8,000 songs that he's got with his band to send over. But we're going to have Frank Yeno with Black Valentine in hour one. In an hour or two, we're welcoming a brand new DJ presenter by the name of DJ Schrei. That's his brand name, is Schrei, S-C-H-R-I. I keep wanting to say Shree, so I've been corrected about a dozen times, not by him because he's far too complimentary, but by various people saying it's DJ Schrei. You have to say DJ Schrei, but he's going to be providing musical content for hour number two tomorrow, and I'm very excited to have that young man on. He is out of the East Coast, and we're going to be hearing from him tomorrow, obviously, and if things go well, he may be a regular contributor to the Friday Night Dance Parties. We'll see how that plays out in the coming weeks and months. So what else are you going to do this weekend, Rob?
This weekend? Well, that's pretty much it. It's, you know, Oscars, I just closed down. It's like my Super Bowl. Yeah. That's like,
okay.
Yeah. That's what I do. I actually am going to try to write some because I actually got one of those day job things and I really need to turn to, you know, getting, I've got things I want to say and blog.
Yeah.
So
how's the day job going? Let me ask you now that I've got you on air for all the world to hear.
It's great. I'm working for an incredible company, very innovative, Hewlett Packard Enterprise. Give them a plug. And it's they're cutting edge, very much on the security thing, protecting the world's data. So I'm very thrilled to be part of that team. But it's it is what it is. Getting back into that with Brian. So, yeah.
Okay, real quick, because we're talking about the Oscars, and I'm sorry, my head just went there because, you know, I'm on this diet now where I don't eat after dark, and it's a long thing, and it's only a short-term thing, but I'm really kind of hungry right now. So, Rob, what are you going to have for your Oscar food?
Oh, boy, put me on the spot. Okay, I'm going to do honey barbecue chicken wings and popcorn.
Oh.
And see, I'm not on a Garrett Miller diet, so you know there's not a lot of rock.
I gotta fit in a blonde Jesus suit. What do you expect?
Yeah. Now, see, if I had my real wish list, though, now that I'm thinking about it, I would probably run out and get some sushi rolls and have like some Maguro tuna and albacore tuna and fresh salmon and things like that. But
that sounds far too healthy.
What was that?
Far too healthy, Rob.
Oh, well, that's my – I actually prefer that to the other stuff, to be honest with you. So I do
over
have
chicken
my,
wings?
Oh, yeah, I'm afraid so. You put me in Japan, and I'm an eating pig. I just love Japanese food. So
There we go. Well, Rob, any closing thoughts? We've got a minute left, and then we're going to be done for this week. By the way, I should tell you who's going to be here next week. On next week's show, it's another twofer. We've got Mr. Greg Archer. He's the former – King of Pop Culture Roulette here on the show. He's going to be talking about a new web series called The You and the Me. We're also going to be welcoming actor and producer Mel England and his writing partner to the show to talk about their new movie that's coming out as well. So that's next Thursday on Rated LGBT Radio. Rob, any closing thoughts in the last minute that we've got?
Not much. You can hear me Saturday on Out in Santa Cruz as well, and I can't wait till next week.
That's outinsantacruz.com, 7 p.m. Saturday night Pacific Standard Time. So tune into that and you know, give Rob a shout out. Everybody, it's been great having you here. Thanks again to Mr. Michael Beccaro and Craig Campobasso for being on the show tonight. Two fantastic human beings, and we will see you live. Oh, by the way, if you like the show, make sure to follow the program so you get the links. They give you the show thing for, you know, the next show. We're live 5 days a week, sometimes six. Next week it's 6 days a week. And this has been my pleasure to do this with you. On behalf of Rob and myself, we'll see you. Well, I'll be here tomorrow night, but we'll see you next Thursday on Rated LGBT Radio as well. Take care.
You've been listening to
Rated G Radio.
RatedLGBTRadio.com.